we've been speaking the last several shiurim about the principle of rov, and we saw that there are really fundamentally two different types of rov. One is the ruv of the isa kaman, one of the Romans is the ruv of the leisa kaman. So just to review for a moment, the ruv of the isa kaman was when you have 10 stores, none of them are selling kosher, one's selling treif, and you find the meat in the floor, in the street, so then you can assume that it most probably came from a kosher store. But we have documented all 10 stores, we know these nine are kosher, one is treif, that's what's called the ruv of the isa kaman. The leisa kaman means that we never really counted up what the facts are, but we make some kind of a statement of facts based on the natural world around us. So some of the examples the Gemara said, rove animals are in treifus. Well, the Gemara says that rove women give birth to 9 months rather than early. So those types of roves are just statement of truths about the natural world around us. But it's not that anyone actually sat down and counted up animals or counted up the women giving birth. So both of these roves work with a Torah. What the makor for them is, Ruv de Isakman is for sure derived from Achir Ram Lahatos, from Beis Din. Ruv de Isakman was a little bit more shaky. That in the end of the sugya, it was unclear what the makor is. Either it's also derived from Achir Ram Lahatos, or it's perhaps a separate halacha, halacha Moshe Mesinai, whatever it is. But Minat Torah, there's no question we rely on Rove. We rely both on Ruv de Isakman and Ruv de Isakman. There is a possible third application of the principle of Rov, and that's what the Gemara speaks about, what's called Bittel Barov, what was called Chad Betrei Batel. The Gemara tells us that if you have three items, and two of them are a kosher, and one of them is treif, and the three items get mixed up together. So I know for a fact that there's one treif item here. It's not the case of the stores. The case of the stores, I have a piece of meat on the ground. I don't know where it came from, so it's very possible that the meat is not a treif. But a bittel barov means that I have a tarov. I have a mixture. When I have three pieces in front of me, and I know for a fact that one of them is treif. I know for a fact that two of them are kosher. The question becomes, do we have a right to take one of the pieces out and eat it and just assume that everything's okay? So the Gemara says yes. The Gemara says, Midarai, so there's a principle called Bittel Barov. The Gemara says this in many, many places. Midarai, Sechad, Betrei, Batel. But even though the Gemara says it in many, many places, the Gemara never says what the source for this din is. How do you know that if I have three pieces in front of me, two are kosher, one's treif, I can take one and eat it? So Rashi writes in Maseches Gittin, the mokel for this din is Achir Ram Lahatos, and then the Rashba writes the same thing. That's the general consensus view, is that this is also derived from Achir Ram Lahatos. So we have to stop for a moment and try to analyze this halacha of Chad Betrei Batel, what we call, for short, we call Bittel Barov, what the nature of this halacha is all about. So one can understand this din of Bittel Barov really conceptually in two very, very different ways. One can understand that this principle of Bittel Barov is basically rooted in Huchos Sveikos. As we know that there are Sveikos that come up in life, Sveikos that come up in Halacha, and the Torah gives us a whole series of different guidelines what to do when you have a suffix. Some people like to take the attitude, they don't want any Sveikos in life. Everything has to be clear. So that's not realistic. Of course, there are always Sveikos in life. A successful life, a person learns how to deal with the Sveikos. So there are some Sveikos that you're able to decide one way or the other. Sometimes things remain as a Sveik, and you have to figure out what to do if and when you have a Sveik. So Sveikos are a reality of this world, a reality in the world of Halacha, and a reality in the world of life as well. So this din of Bittel Barov is one of the rules the Torah gives us how to deal with Sveikos. You have three pieces of meat, and there's a risk, there's a statistical probability that if I take out one piece of meat, so then I'm most probably going to be eating the kosher piece of meat. So maybe that's all that Rove is. Rove says that we can rely on the statistics, we can rely on the Rove, not all that different conceptually than relying on the statistics that the piece of meat found in the street is from the kosher store. Not all that different from relying on the fact that the animal that I just shechted is probably not a treifa, and therefore I don't have to bother opening up its head and heart and the stomach to check for holes. The din of Bittel Barov is rooted, mathematically, it's rooted conceptually, the same idea of quote-unquote statistics. The odds are, the Torah is giving me a right to rely on either the Torah's Bir, or the Torah's Arhav, we spoke a little bit about in the past, but the mice, it's basically a Sveikus type of halacha. This is one of the many rules the Torah tells me how to deal with Sveikus. Or maybe no. Maybe Bittel Barov is a totally different type of halacha. Maybe Bittel Barov is not rooted in Sveikus, but rather Bittel Barov means when you have a mixture, when you have a tarovas of three items, and you can no longer discern which is which, the Torah tells us a chiddush that item which is in the majority, in a sense, swallows up the other item, and the item that's in the minority now takes on the halacha characteristics of the majority. So when I have three pieces of meat two are kosher, one is treif. What Bittul Barov says is, doesn't say you're allowed to risk it and hedge your bets on taking the kosher piece. No, what Bittul Barov means is, there is no treif piece here anymore. But the treif piece is not existent. You know, treifus is a halachic characteristics that the Rabbanu Shlomo is goes there. The Rabbanu Shlomo is goes there, treifus, the Rabbanu Shlomo is goes there, Bittul Barov. So when you have a situation of Bittul Barov, those halachic characteristics, those traits of treif, no longer exist. So that's Bittul Barov. Bittul Barov is a totally different type conceptually of halacha. It's not a sveik as the gedid, but it's a halachic reality type of halacha. So what is the answer to this question? How does Bittul Barov work? So this lechora is behind a major machlekes of Rishon. We spoke about this in Hilchos Tarovos. How many years ago? We learned it for 2.5+ years. So this goes back 4 or 5 years ago. But we spoke about Hilchos Tarovos. So this is a big machlekes of Rishon about the following situation. What's the din when you have a Bittul Barov? Classic Bittul Barov is chad betray baltimore. We call an alocha a tarovus of yavish b'yavish. You have three dry pieces of meat in front of you. We'll take the worst case scenario, a case of a potential isakaris. You have chaylev in front of you. You have one piece of chaylev, the prohibited fats in front of you. And you have two pieces of what's called shuman. Shuman looks like chaylev, but it's that part of the fat of the animal. That was not to be asar. So I have a mixture on the table. I know for a fact that I had one piece of chaylev here, and I know for a fact I have two pieces of shuman here. But right now I can't tell the difference. So I have a tarobus of chad betray. So what's the halacha? So comes the rush in Maseches Chulin, in the seventh parak, and says that I'm permitted to eat all three of them. Not only am I permitted to eat all three of them, I can eat all three of them at the same time. I can make myself a deli sandwich, take three slices, three pieces of the media, put them all in one shot, and take one bite, gobble down all three of them at the same time. So ask the Russian himself, what kind of a joke is that? How can you eat all three? I know that one of them is treif, so how can you be matir to eat all three pieces at the same time? So says the Rosh, the answer is because Bittul Barov is not an issue of sveikus. It's not that we're taking a chance that maybe it's okay, it's a suffik, and therefore you can rely on the Rosh. No, says the Rosh. What Bittul Barov means is transformation. Bittul Barov means the Davar Aser is no longer Aser. So the Rosh coins a phrase, it's called Iser Nepach Lios Heter. What used to be a Davar Aser has now been totally, completely transformed to become a Davar Mutar. So this is the halakh equivalent of having three kosher pieces of food in front of me. I have three pieces of shuman in front of me. That's a joke. You don't have three. You really only have two. No, api din, I have three. The davar shel chaylev, the chatikas chaylev, has lost its halakha characteristics of treifos and has become chalon in the shame of shuman. This is the Rosh's analysis of Bittul Barov. So the Taisus read when the Rishonim in Maseches Bava Basra in the third parak. So the reason it appears in Bava Basra is for totally different reasons, talking about a totally different sugya about two Eidim are saying one thing, two Eidim are saying something else, and they contradicted the whole story. In the middle of that whole discussion in Bava Basra, the Taisus read gives you a mashal from Hilchus Yerodea, from Hilchus Treifus. The Taisus read says, would anybody say that if you have three pieces of food on the table, two of them we know are shuman, and one of them is chaylev, would anybody say you're allowed to eat all three? Says the Taisus Rid, if the same person would eat all three, he would be chayv karis. Why? He ate treifus, he ate chaylev. Of course he ate chaylev. How can you deny the facts? The reality is that if you have if I know for a fact there was one piece there, if I eat one piece, says the Taisus Rid, you can argue, okay, the odds are in my favor. I probably didn't eat, chaylev. You want to tell me I can eat the second piece, and already you're getting to statistics question, you know, what are the odds that I'm eating the treifus not? Okay, then you could discuss, you could purple. But to be bought to all three pieces, says the Taisus Rid, even if it's not the vasachas, even if it's bezechazeh, even if it's one after the other, it's the same guy eating all three pieces, that's out of the question, says the Taisus Rid. That would be a violation of the Torah's vada, would be chayav a korban chatas. You mamish violated an isra of koris. So clearly the Taisus Rid is not just arguing on the technicalities of the case, but he's arguing conceptually on the Rosh that Taisus Rid's understanding is that Bittul Barov does not mean transformation of halachic characteristics. We just made up that mumbo jumbo. That's not true, says Taisus Rid. All Bittul Barov is, it's relying on the Rav. It means the odds are it's probably okay for me to eat one piece. The odds are maybe it's okay to eat two pieces. But to eat all three pieces, that's the ultimate tie to the sasrei. That's an absolute contradiction in terms. That's worse than all the milchamayrs have to plug together. That's the worst tie to the sasrei. You contradict yourself. How could it be that this piece is shuman, and this piece is a shuman, and this piece is shuman? It's like the old joke. You're right. All three can't be right. They all three can't be shuman. So says the Taisus Rid, it must be that Bittul Barov has nothing to do with changing characteristics. Bittul Barov is just a din in Hilchos Sveikus. So we have now presented two extremes in the Rishonim. The Tosfos Rid and the Rosh. What is Bittul Barov? Is Bittul Barov B'Toras Isan Epech Liel Zeter? Or is Bittul Barov B'Toras just following the Rov, going with the numerical possibilities, the physical possibilities, similar to everything we've been talking about up until this point? The Lechora, the Rosh is a tremendous Chiddush. To say that Issa Nepech Liel Zeter, you have to have a mocker for this. What's the mocker? What's the source for this principle of Issa Nepech Liel Zeter? The only mocker that we have for Rov is Achmir HaMahatos. All other Makaras failed in the last Sugya. So the only mocker that really stands as an absolute source for the principle of Rov is Achmir HaMahatos. So Bishlam, according to the Tosfos Rid, that Bittul Barov is conceptually the same as following Rov, as Rubidisikaman, Rubidulaisikaman, it's all the same parsha. That the Torah says, the odds are the majority is right, in effect. So the same way the odds are the majority of the Dayanim are right, the odds are that the meat is from a kosher store, the odds are that the animal is not a trefa, the odds are that the piece of meat that you take is not chelim, it's rather shuman. So if all of Bittul Barov and Holchanach HaRov and Rubidisikaman, Rubidulaisikaman, and all of parsha of Rov is basically just a way of playing your, just betting on the odds. So then I understand that's all part of Rechram Nahatas. That's what the Chiddush HaTorah Rechram Nahatas says. You have it in Torah. Three Dayanim are saying, two saying one saying something else. The odds are the two are right. So if that's what Bittul Barov is, then it's the Torah is giving you the right to rely on the Rov. So then I understand where it comes from. It's just a natural outgrowth of Rechram Nahatas. But according to the Rosh, what's going on over here is something radically different. According to the Rosh, there are really two different halachas of Rov. There's Rov in the statistical realm, and then there's the Rov in the sense in the chemical realm. That it's changing chemical properties, it's changing halachic properties. That's a very, very different type of conception of Rov. So where does that come from? You have to look. It was hard enough for us to find in Acharei Mahatos anything to do with meat in the street. It was hard for us to find anything about Acharei Mahatos having to do with trefas and animals, but that already we already went with Chazal. Chazal already told us that Kachkibu Chazal, the Chorei Mahatos, extends out of the realm of Cheshavish, out of the realm of Beis, and into the realm of Yoredei in the kitchen. But to take it conceptually so radically different and say that Bittul Barov transforms properties, Bittul Barov removes characteristics, Bittul Barov changes natural rules. So where do you see that? That's quite a jump from the original meaning of the pasuk of Acharei Mahatos. So Reb Chaim has a suggestion. It's quoted in the Chiddush Reb Chaim in the beginning of the third Bechel Bav Kama. Reb Chaim suggests the following fundamental yisoid, really a classic Reb Chaim halach. Reb Chaim says, if you take a look at any given din Torah, so you have two dayanim saying Chaim and one dayan says Potter. So the din is clearly he's Chaim. Acharei Mahatos, no question about that. That's what the Torah means. Kach nemar alocha mashem sirach. Acharei Mahatos, you follow two out of the three dayanim. So says Reb Chaim, what's really taking place in this halacha that you follow two out of the three dayanim are two very distinct halachic processes. They're really two issues or two different things that are taking place in the seemingly innocent din Torah. Number one, says Reb Chaim, we have to determine what the reality is. We have to determine what are the facts. What should the din be? Did Reuven break the window? Did Reuven not break the window? Is Reuven chayv to pay? Is Reuven not chayv to pay? Did Reuven borrow the money? Did Reuven not borrow the money? So there are certain facts we have to get down to. And we did all our research. We did our Eidus, and Rishachki, whatever we did. And now we came to the conclusion that two of the Dayanim think the facts played out as such. And one of the Dayanim thinks the facts play out as such. So what do you do? So comes the Torah and says, well, we don't know what to do. We have a suffix. We're not sure. So the Torah says, when in doubt, so the odds are the majority is probably right. We are very democratic. So the odds are, take a vote. And the odds are that more than 50% is pointing in one direction. That's probably the way to go. That's what's taking place in the Din Torah. That two out of the three Dayanim are saying Chayev. The odds are he's probably Chayev. And therefore we paskin in favor of the odds. That principle of paskin in favor of the odds, so that carries over now out of Chesher Mishpat. That gives us a right to rely on Rove stores that are selling kosher meat. Oh, I can eat the meat that's found on the street. Oh, Rove animals don't have holes in their stomachs. Oh, I can assume this animal probably doesn't have a hole in the stomach either. That I can live my life based on the statistical odds. So that's blurred out from the first dimension of Acharei Mahatos. It says, Reb Chaim, there's a second halacha that's taking place in front of our very eyes. We may just not notice it. It says, Reb Chaim, The first Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, Dini Mammas Mishloisha. You can only be Moitzi Mammon based on a Psach of a Beis Din. A Beis Din, the entity of a Beis Din, has the Koyach to be Moitzi Mammon from one person to another. What's a Beis Din? Dini Mammas Mishloisha. You have to have three Dayanim. You have to have an entity called three Dayanim. A Beis Din is translated to mean in Halacha, three Dayanim. Three Dayanim have the ability to be Moitzi Mammon. When you have a Din Torah, two are saying Chayiv and one is saying Potter, where's the Beis Din? Where's the Beis Din be Moitzi the Mammon? Who's being motzi the mammon? Where's being motzi the mammon? Dini mammon is b'shlosha. You only have two people being motzi the mammon. The third guy saying it's not true. He's not chayv to pay the money. So even though statistically, a lot, you know, the odds are that the two are probably right, you can't go to a beis din of two people. If you go to a beis din of two people, shnayim shadon away dini am din. Beis din chotzaf. I just put together two sugyas in Sanhedrin, but for our purposes, it's okay. The din is you go to two dayanim. That's not a beis din. Dini mammon is b'shlosha. So how can the Torah tell us that you follow the rove, you're missing, you're lacking one dayan? So says Reb Chaim, the answer is pashut. That built into the beis din system is that when you have three dayanim, two are saying one thing and one is saying something else. Apidin, the one who's saying potter, is saying chayev. How is he saying chayev? He's saying potter. The answer is the halacha now transforms this person. You thought he was a potter dayanim. You thought you were two against one. No. Whenever you have two against one, the one who's in the minority loses his characteristic of being in the minority, and he takes on the characteristics of the majority. The characteristics of the majority were chayev, so the one who's saying potter is also chayev. So is what's called potter nefach lios chayev, to paraphrase the Rush. Just as potter nefach lios chayev, the dayan who used to, a minute ago, was saying potter, now he's saying chayev, guess what? The corollary of potter nefach lios chayev is that means you see in the very parsha based in that halacha characteristics can be lost, can be transformed, can be swallowed up by the majority. If that works in Dini Mammonos, it works in Issa v'Hetter as well. So says Reb Chaim, every time you have a Din Torah, every time you have majority rules, every time you follow Rov, you're really following Rov conceptually in two different ways. You're following Rov in terms of statistically, this is probably the truth, but just arriving at the truth isn't sufficient. You also have to have that halakha characteristics of B losing its characteristics to A plus A. Both of those didn't take place in any Din Torah when you have a 2-on-1, and it's both of those halachas of Beis Din that become the source, become the model for Rov as we've been using it. So there's a deraistic concept of Rov, Achram Mahatos. There are two branches out, the two very, very different types, two different accomplishments of Rov. One is B'Torah Sveikis, one is B'Torah Transformation. Both of them exist by Beis Din, both of them exist in the realm of Yerodea as well. This is Reb Chaim, the whole Razzle Dazzle Shtu Torah, V'Da'as HaRosh. What would the Tosfos Rid respond to this? According to the Tosfos Rid, that there is no second halacha, there is no din of Issa Nefach Lios Heter, there is no Bittul Barov in the way that the Rosh understood it. So how would the Tosfos Rid read the Parsha Beis Din? So the Chorah of the Tosfos Rid would say, the din of Dini Mammonos B'Shlosha doesn't mean that you need a psach of a Beis Din of three to be Moitzi Mammon. What the halacha is that you have to go to a Beis Din of three. Dini Mammonos B'Shlosha means the Din Torah has to be three. But the conclusion has to be, Achram Matos. I mean, the whole premise of Reb Chaim, you need three Dayanim. Where's the third Dayan? The third Dayan is saying, Faker. Where's the third Dayan? So the Tosfos Rid would say, you don't have the third Dayan. You're not going to have me. The third Dayan is not saying Chaim. There is no Din that you need three Dayanim to be Motzi Mammon. You need three Dayanim to have the Din Torah. Once you have the Din Torah, then Achram Matos. Then the Din is that two of them can be Motzi Mammon. The Reb Chaim's vort and Beis Din is a little bit difficult to understand because the very halach itself, the Bittul Barov, is predicated upon one very, very basic assumption. The basic assumption is that everything has lost its identity. When you have three pieces of chaylev, three pieces of meat on the table, two of them are chaylev and one of them is, two of them are shum and one of them is chaylev, the only reason why Bittul kicks in is because I can't see which is which. But once I could see which is which, so then it's all over. If I have three pieces of meat on the table, two of them say, three chickens on the table, two of them say, they say empire on them. Mark, the plum that say empire on them, and one of them says Purdue on it. So that's Bittul Barov. So I can look, well, I have three pieces of chicken on the table, so I can eat all three, because two of them are gone. That's a late sonus. That's not a tarovus. That's not a Bittul. Bittul, by very definition, means when it's not Nikra Isser. Once it's Nikra Isser, once the Isser and the Heter are recognizable, so what kind of Bittul is that? Bittul means when you lose your characteristics because you're all misbata, you're all misarif together. By Dayanim, that's called Nikra Isser. two dayanim are screaming chayev, the other dayanim screaming potter, they're fighting it out. It's true, once they come out and they present their case, so the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that the one dayan who said potter is not allowed to whisper to the Baal Din, by the way, I voted in your favor, but the other guy has outvoted me. That's an issue of Lashon Hara, the Gemara says. That's for them to say such a thing. But that's Lashon Hara, that's not Dinim Hamanus Din. From Dinim Hamanus vantage point, the three of them are fighting it out, they're screaming, yelling, Shvai Chayev Kayev, and that's it. You have two on one, and that's it. You have two say Chayev, one says Potter, and Nimnu Vagamru, so the person's going to be Chayev. Even though the Potter is still Nikar Isser, his opinion is still present. Everybody knows that he's the guy who said he's Potter. He wrote up the dissenting opinion. No, it doesn't, right? He writes up the dissenting opinion. He's dissenting. He still remains dissenting. But it doesn't matter. The Torah says that Achiram Lahatos. So the Chore, if Rav Chaim and the Rosh, this whole concept of Tarovis, of Bittul, the din of Bittul Barov, that it's an epoch Lil's head, it's learned that from Dayonim. Dayonim is not really a good model, because in the case of Dayonim, it is still Nikara, I can't say Nikara, it's a Nikara Haptur, whatever you want to call it. But a Kopar, notwithstanding our Kash against Rav Chaim does say the Shtichel Torah, in the beginning of the third Pekel of a Kam, and the Savim of Rav Chaim, he says this, and this is the conventionally, usually assumed to be the beer in the Das HaRosh. So a Kopar, we have a Machloikis, really, Min HaKotza LaKotza, in terms of understanding the very essence of Bittul Barov. Is Bittul Barov rooted in Sveikis, or is Bittul Barov rooted in something very, very different of Issen Epech Lios Hatter?
Rav Chaim actually connects Dayanim to the pieces of Shimon
HaKeli? Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, he says it. That's the Dimakar, he says, yeah.
But it's just on a simplistic level, it's just
Dayanim
and what can understand this transformation in a liquid.
We're gonna get to liquid. You're ready to have into the chiluk within the transformation. So Rav Chaim's talking about regular bittul barov. Regular bittul barov is to cut the tray bottle. But we're gonna get to the liquids in a second. So notwithstanding this machlok is really minakotze lakotze between the Rosh and the Taisus Rid, one really has to analyze both the Shittas of Rosh and the Shittas of Taisus Rid, because you come to the realization that the Rosh is not as extreme as he appears to be, that even the Rosh concedes that it's not quite Issen Epech Lios Heter in the absolute complete sense. And even the Taisus Rid, who seems to totally ignore the principle of Issen Epech Lios Heter, may also fall back on Issen Epech Lios Heter to a certain degree. So at first we painted the sugyas two very, very different extremes. You have the Rosh in one corner, Taisus Rid in the other corner, saying two very, very different things. When you look at the sugya a little bit further, you realize that there's a certain degree of truth of the Taisus Rid. The Taisus Rid is incorporated into the Shittas HaRosh, and vice versa. So let's see if we can begin to analyze, starting with the sheet of the Taisus Rid, which really is the Mechudesh Tichah sheet in the Rishonim, in terms of being the minority view, not of all the Rav. Most of the Rishonim don't seem to go the lines of the Taisus Rid. So the Taisus Rid says that, seems to say that Issen Epech Lios Heter doesn't exist. That all Rav is just mere statistics. It's no different conceptually than the meat on the ground in front of the stores. It's not different conceptually than the animal not being a tray from. If that is the case, so the Taisus Rid drew us the model, his moshe was, he said, would anybody in the right mind say you can take a sandwich of all three pieces and eat it? That's crazy, it doesn't make any sense, says the Taisus Rid. So the Chayyim have to turn around and ask the Taisus Rid, but you yourself would say that. When would you say that? And what's called in Halacha, Tarovus of Lach Balach. There are two very different types of Tarovus, Yavish B'Yavish and Lach Balach, those who remember Yerodea. So right, we look Yerodea together. Okay. So you have Yavish B'Yavish and you have Lach Balach. So Tarovus of Yavish B'Yavish is the case of the three dry pieces of meat. The discerning characteristic of Yavish B'Yavish is that there's no bleas, there's no transferring, there's no physical diffusion of one to another. There's three dry pieces of meat that are sitting together in a basket. That's Yavish B'Yavish. Lach Balach means that there's a transferring of taste, as in a sinas tam, either through a heat, you can have lach balach through cooking up together, or you can even have lach balach if it's not cooked. So you have cold non-kosher milk, it's mixed into cold kosher milk. It's all mixed together. That's the Torah of lach balach. So the din is that min haTorah, you follow Rav also. Derabbanan, there are chumas of shishim, something to write, something to derabbanan. We're not learning really your day. We're just learning it for the purpose of our sugyas. So we'll just stick to a simple lach balach. So you have a simple lach balach, for argument's sake, non-kosher milk. It's poured into kosher milk. So min haTorah, the din is that you follow Rav. There's no question about that. The din is that achrei Rav nahatas, you follow Rav. And what would that mean to follow Rav? That means you can take a cup of milk and drink the milk. So according to the Taisus Rid, how do you do that? Bishlama in the case of the Yavish B'Yavish. So I understand that the Tosfos Rid permitted you to take one piece of meat out and to eat that piece of meat. And maybe the Tosfos Rid would permit you to take a second piece out also. But the one thing the Tosfos Rid said is out of the question is to eat all three pieces of meat. So how, in the Tarovus of Lach B'Lach, did you ever drink any of the milk? So the milk diffuses. The milk is mixing together. In any cup of milk, of course there's going to be some of the treif milk. Of course, if you do a study, if you put isotopes, I don't know, on the milk or something, you test the milk to see where this milk is coming from. Obviously, there's going to be some treif molecules of milk in this whole cup of kosher milk. So what do you tell me a story? I have two bottles of kosher milk with one bottle of treif milk, all got mixed together. So now I have a big mixture of three bottles worth. So I'm only going to drink one bottle's worth. That's like, that would be like the model, that would be the marshal from the Yavish B'Yavish. Just as Tosfos Rid lets me eat one piece of meat, I'm only going to drink one of the bottles of milk. What do you mean you drink one of the bottles have all been mixed together. It's not that you have three distinct bottles that got mixed up. It's in one big vat together. So of course you're going to drink some of the treif milk. According to the Tosfos Rid, how can you do that? It doesn't make any sense. So the answer is obvious, as Dr. Fisher really alluded to, is that even according to the Tosfos Rid, who seem to deny characteristic traits being transformed, the Tosfos Rid only denied those characteristic traits in the Tarovus of Yavish B'Yavish. But in Tarovus of Lach B'Lach, when it's liquids that are mixed together, then everyone agrees that the characteristics change. If you don't agree to that, so then the whole concept of Tarovus Lach B'Lach goes by the wayside. What kind of din of Lach B'Lach is that? How can the Torah give us Tarovus the dinim of Noisintam? Noisintam is also less than Noisintam's Mutter. What do you mean if the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that you have a Tarovus of Lach B'Lach, as long as you can't taste the treifus, so everything's mutter? What do you mean? Just because you can't taste it, but it's there, I know it's there, how is it batel? So the answer is, even though Lach B'Lach is by definition, there's going to be some of the issa there, obviously you have to fall back on the principle called Issa Nefach Lios Heter. Either Tosfos Rid was anti that principle. He never heard of that principle. He never heard of that principle in Yavish B'Yavish, but in Lach B'Lach, about the end of that principle. Everybody holds that principle in Lach B'Lach.
By Lach B'Lach, the Tosfos Rid would agree to drink all three bottles?
Pashtus, he would, as long as it's all already mixed together, Pashtus, he would have to agree to that, because it doesn't make any sense to say you can't drink all three, then have to drink anything. Because anytime you drink anything, by definition, you have some treif milk in there. So clearly, even the Tosfos Rid, who is the biggest anti-Issa Nefach Lios Heter, has to buy into it to some degree, at least in the Tarovus Lach B'Lach. So what we have taking place now, according to the Tosfos Rid, is that even within Bittul Berov, we're further breaking down Bittul Berov. The Shia is becoming brisk squared. First, we drew a distinction between Bittul Berov versus other kinds of Berov. And now, according to the Tosfos Rid, within Bittul Berov, there are really two different halachas. There are conceptually two very, very different mechanisms that Bittul Berov is working with. If it's a Tarovus Yavish B'Yavish, then it's working with the mechanism of relying on the odds, playing, hedging your bets properly, you're relying on the rov. That's when it's Yavish B'Yavish. But once you enter into the realm of Lach B'Lach, then it's a whole different ballgame. Lach B'Lach has nothing to do with bets, nothing to do with odds. Lach B'Lach is not going to feel sad there, even according to the Tosfos Rid. Because if you don't accept that, if you don't fall back on that to some degree, then the whole thing is not like set off of it, the whole thing doesn't exist. And the whole bit of rov of Lach B'Lach becomes not practical. This distinction, that according to Tosfos Rid, there's a very real difference between a bittul of Yavish B'Yavish in contrast to a bittul Lach B'Lach. This may play out in terms of other dimensions of Yerodei as well. You know, we're not going to become a Yerodeisha right now. It has potential to become one, whenever you talk about these things. But just really one nekuda, one halacha in Yerodei seems to also suggest this idea that there is a real difference between Yavish B'Yavish in contrast to Lach B'Lach. There is a sugya that appears in Masechet Chulin and in other places, and it appears in Simin Sanites in Yerodea, called Ein Mevalin Issa Lechatchila. The halacha is that Bittul Berov and Bittul Bashish and Rola Dinner of Bittul only apply if it happened by itself. But I'm not permitted to take treif food and throw it into a pot and rely on bittul. Let's say my wife's cooking up a big pot of chicken soup, and a few extra guests come, and we realize we better throw in a little bit more food into the pot, and she doesn't have any more chicken. So she wants to add a little bit more food to the pot. So she says, oh, we have a piece of chazer in the fridge, so take out, hopefully not, we have a piece of chazer, we'll throw a little bit of piece of chazer into the soup. But we're going to be very, very careful. We're only going to throw in that amount of chazer. It's not going to be, not going to add, it's not going to make the soup treif. So I open up your day, I sit inside, and I realize, oh, bittul baro, bittul bashish, oh, cheshbenis, I put in just right the right amount, and it's going to be mutter. So you're not allowed to do that. That's called eimav alnas lechatchila. You're not allowed to add treifas to a mixture in order to be matter it, in order to rely on rov. That's an iser eimav alnas lechatchila. Where did that iser come from? How do you know? Why not? If it's mutter, it's mutter. What kind of iser is that? Eimav alnas lechatchila. There's a big machlek iser rishonim. Is that an iser derais? Is that an iser derabbanan? That prohibition of not, in effect, relying on bitul lechatchila, is that something that the Torah prohibited, or is that something only also in the Rabbanan? I'm assuming that it's also in the Torah, then you got to work hard to find the mocha, where does it come from? So that's a big machlekes that we showed in Iran, and others are fighting it out in Maseches Chulin, is the principle called Eim Vatnas Chachila, and Issa Dirais, and Issa Dirabbanan. So the Nedev Yehuda suggests in the Tshuva that maybe we can make a pshar, maybe we can make a compromise to this question. This machlekes that we showed him, whether Eim Vatnas Chachila is it itself also in the Torah, or only also in the Rabbanan, maybe it should depend on what type of tarovs we're talking about. Says the Nedev Yehuda, to take, let's say I have two pieces of kosher meat on the table, unmarked pieces, and I'm going to take a third piece of treifa meat, take off the wrapping, put it on the table, close my eyes, mix them around, hocus pocus, it's bottle, it's mutter. So says the Nedev Yehuda, he thinks that would be also min haTorah. You're not allowed to do that min haTorah. That's a violation of Eim Avatlas L'Selechatchila Midaraisa. But the evidence you can eat it if it happens, because what are you going to do? It happened. But min haTorah, you're not allowed to do that. That was an Issa L'Selechatchila to do that. But, says the Nedev Yehuda, what would the din be if I don't have a tarovis of Yavish B'Yavish? I have a tarovis of Lach B'Lach. So I have a little bit of a kosher, big bottle of kosher milk, and I'm going to pour a little bit of treifa milk into the kosher milk. Now I see, it's bottle. What do you want from me? So says the Nevi, he thinks that minatara is nothing wrong. What I just did is mutta minatara. What's the difference? Says the Nevi, the difference is posha. When you have a tarovis of yavish b'yavish, the isser is still there. You haven't changed the isser. The isser is basically there. The isser is lefaneinu. It happens to be, I can't tell which is which. It happens to be, I'm allowed to follow a rov, allowed to set my bets, etc. So says the Nevi Yehuda, the Torah permits you to rely on the odds if it happened by itself. But lechatchila, to set up your life in such a way, you can rely on odds. Lechatchila, to go bet on, there's a 75% chance that I'm probably going to be eating kosher food. You're not allowed to do that. So to create a tarovus of yavish b'yavish, you're in fact, going to the Torah is writ, to create a tarovus of yavish b'yavish, you're really hedging your bets, and you're not supposed to be living your life that way. You're not supposed to be following halacha in such a strange way. But by tarovus of lach b'lach, what did you do wrong? So didn't do them. There's no isser. The din is, I'm not allowed to eat isser. I didn't eat isser. I had drank treifa milk. I didn't drink treifa milk. The treifa milk, where's the treifa? I don't see any treifa milk. It's an epochil satur. Whatever was treif is now mutter. So what did I do wrong? That I made kosher milk? Well, great, I'm very smart. I'm a mad scientist. I turned the treifa milk into kosher milk. I figured out how to do that. What's wrong with that? Lamai said, at the end of the day, Bashir Shom, when I'm drinking the milk was kosher milk. So that's what that the Yehuda is suggesting. Within the sugi of Eim Avatlas Lechatchila, to differentiate conceptually between Yavish B'Yavish, in contrast to Lach B'Lach, this is reminiscent of the Taisus Rit. This is the same idea as the Taisus Rit, that Yavish B'Yavish and Lach B'Lach do not work the same way. Yavish B'Yavish is a din in betting and statistics. Lach B'Lach is a din in transformation of halachic characteristics. They're not the same. And that expresses itself in this difference, that Eim Avatlas Lechatchila is problematic min haTorah in one, and it's not problematic min haTorah in the other. According to the Rush, that's right. According to the Rush, that's right.
And that's how we
pass it. That we pass in Shulchan Aruch. In this machlek is in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in a little bit of a split. We pass that min haTorah the Rush is right, but mid the Rabbanan and Sabishan have a third view that we didn't even talk about. Sabishan ties in the Rush with a third view that min haTorah the Rush is right, but mid the Rabbanan. That doesn't smell right. Doesn't look right. So therefore, in Shulchan Aruch, we say that we shouldn't have the same person eat all three, or at the same time shouldn't eat all three. But meik adin, the Rabbah seems to pass in that the Rosh is really right. And meik adin, it could be even midrabbanim, maybe meik adin is really right.
And how do we get over that hump that by lach b'lach intuitively we feel that the Tosfos root is right because we can't see it anymore,
right.
Not mikar,
right.
And yet by yavesh. Here.
Because we have to get over our intuition, it means we have to look into the eyes of the halacha, that the reality, we look at the world through the halachic glasses. Now when the Torah says Echrem Latos, Punach and Exer Sekos, Echrem Latos, is a transformation of nature, that this is not Isser anymore. The same Ribbono Shalom, Sapesha Sapeshetir, the same Ribbono Shalom said this used to be Chazer, this is not Chazer. The Ribbono Shalom can change the facts.
But you see the Chazal had trouble with it, because... whoever was the Rashba, the post host, did not agree that one person can eat all three.
It means according to Tosafot in the Rosh, but there was some problem with the Rabbanan. The Rosh never heard of that, said the Rabbanan. According to the Rosh, it's motivated with the Rabbanan. The Rosh says, L'chadchil shem l'chadchil.
It's had to go on. No, but I'm sorry, but doesn't the Ron say that you can eat, the other position, that you can eat all three, but you have to eat them at different times?
Some Rishonim say that, but the Rosh says you can eat all three at the same time.
But I'm saying that if you hold, I can eat all three, but at different times, I have to say the transformation, or else...
Right, that's right. So that's right. So
what that
sheet is saying is Minat Torah, it's transformation, but Midrabban, it looks like a little bit of a tie to the Sasre. So to avoid that disaster, the same way, we'll let you daven Mincha one day this time, Maariv the next day, so it doesn't look so bad when you're doing it.
Fundamentally,
the Rosh is correct.
Even Midrabban, it's
correct. Right, that's right.
It's sort of like we're scared.
Right, it doesn't look like. You're right, 100% right. Right, right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And no one requires you to cube the meat and mix it all together before you eat it.
Would it make a difference? That's when you're dealing with various things which are not batel. Those are chumers min derabanan. When you have a davar chashev, see, if a davar chashev is not batel, so then if it becomes no longer chashev, then it becomes batel. Whether you're allowed to do that or not is a different story. But al kopanim, in this, on a level of derais, it wouldn't make a difference what it looks like. So al kopanim, we have machlekes taisus read against the Rosh, what seem to be two very, very different extreme views of what Bittul Barov is, but now we've moved the taisus read at least halfway towards the Rosh's camp. But now we have to do the... You have to be fair to both sides. We have to move the Rosh a little bit back to Tosafos Rid's middle as well. The Rosh says that Issa Nepach Yosefer, it's transformation, says the Rosh the following din. Let's say, Locha, I have three pieces of meat on the table, two of them are kosher, and one of them is trapes. So it's Issa Nepach Yosefer, we'll add, eat it and finish. What if I now, there's a fourth piece of meat that happens to be trape, and that fourth piece of meat happens to also get mixed up at this point? And then there's a fifth piece of meat that happens to also be treif. And it happens to also get mixed up at this point. And now I'm looking at the pile, and now I say, oh my goodness, I have five pieces of meat, and three of them are now treif. Molecularly, chemically, scientifically, three of them are treif. Two of them are kosher. Am I allowed to eat or not? So says the Rosh, if I'm really right, that it's an epach liyosater, it should be mutter for me to eat all five of them. Why? Because I had my first tarovus of two against one. So the two against one transformed the one to become mutter. So now I have three kosher pieces of meat on the table. When a fourth one falls in, I have three against one, so the fourth one becomes kosher. When the fifth one falls in, I have four against one, the fifth one, so now I have 500 pieces of meat on the table. I know that if I do the DNA testing on this, I have 498 pieces of treif meat on the table. I only have two pieces of kosher meat, and I'm allowed to make a sandwich with 500 pieces. The Rosh says, if what I'm saying is right, that should be the logical outcome. So says the Rosh, even I won't agree to that. Even I says the buck stops here. The Rosh says that even according to me, with the greatest medical transformation from today to tomorrow, this is going to be a problem. What's the problem with this? From next week, we have to see why this becomes problematic. We have to revamp the Rosh to understand why it's an epic Yosheter, but even Yesh Gvul, but even according to the Rosh, it has to stop at some point. That's from next week. Continue.
Yeah.
So,
doesn't, but what I'm saying is...